This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Thursday, May 8th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today and yesterday. We finally got the news we've all been waiting for, the news I've been trying to hint at to you guys over these past few days. Told you something was coming, and I knew it would be something you guys would like. So Dallas Goedert officially back with the team for the 2025 season. The deal, we got some contract details that we'll go into, how it'll impact the cap, how it'll impact Goddard. Got some Goddard stats to go over with you. Again, I really think Goddard's inching into that conversation for best tight end ever to play for the franchise. We'll talk about Goddard a little more. And then also a nice new rumor. Now that the Goddard stuff is over, we got another rumor to go over. As a safety that has been linked to this team seemingly thousands of times, once again seems to want to make his way to Philadelphia. So we'll get into all that today on this glorious Thursday. It's almost Friday. That's exciting. So let's dive into it. Dallas Goedert back with the Eagles for 2025. The move is reported widely by pretty much everybody on Wednesday. And as a result, we know that he will be with the team in 2025. So what we didn't know was what this contract would look like. What would his earnings end up being after really, not want to say in a contract dispute, but essentially the reason this has all been happening is because of money. This is not about Dallas the person. It's not about Dallas the player. Honestly, it's not even about the injury. This perception he misses games for a bunch of injuries. I think he's played in like 88% of his games in his career. So really not that different than most tight ends. But this was never about Dallas Goedert. This was about the money. And Dallas Goedert, now we know what he is going to make. So he was set to make $14 million in cash for 2025. According to ESPN's Field Yates, Goedert will now make $10 million in cash with the potential to earn another $1 million in incentives, which would bring the total value of his new contract, if he hits incentives, up to $11 million. So look, far be it from me to tell somebody $3 million doesn't matter, right? Like, taxes aren't cheap. That's a lot of money. Like, I get it. Trust me. But I think if you're Goedert, this is a win contractually. When the team, in this case, the Eagles, is holding on to a player but allowing them to seek a trade, they're essentially a free agent. He's allowed to go out, get the best offer he can. And then at that point, the Eagles, more than likely, had he gotten some massive offer, would have traded him, right? Like, they wouldn't have prevented him from getting that money. But when a team holds you through the first wave of free agency, through the second wave of free agency, through the NFL draft, and then, like, you know, could have potentially held him even longer, you miss out on cash. Other tight ends are signed. Tight ends are drafted. Teams spend their money in other ways. So with Goedert, you know, on the book set to earn $14 million in 2025, to walk away after everything he's been through back in Philadelphia and basically end up with $11 million or $10 million if you want to say maybe he doesn't hit the incentives, I think that's a good outcome for Goedert. Now, the interesting part here is, well, let's stick with Goedert for a second. So first, now Goedert is entering the final year of his contract, which means after this season, he will be a free agent, assuming, obviously, he makes it to free agency. The Eagles don't re-sign him before then. And then he'll hit the market. So we will see how much Goedert is able to up his value over the next year. We've talked about this a bunch, but it's worth repeating. Like, so many people compare this to Josh Sweat, and there is some comparisons, right? This is similar time of year, similar contract, and taking a bit of a pay cut, but staying on a one-year deal with hopes of re-upping his value or you know, landing a big contract next offseason. I think with Josh Sweat, though, there was two main differences. One, Sweat had a real chance to really up his value. He was younger. He was the top edge rusher. And then clearly he has a big Super Bowl. He cashes in. But I don't think Sweat was ever going to be back with the Eagles. Like, barring a year where, God forbid, he would have suffered injury in like week two, he doesn't play, and then he signs a prove-it deal with the team, then maybe he could have been back. But I don't think they were ever going to give him any type of real money. So those, you know, two differences. One, Sweat had a chance to really up his value. And two, I think the Eagles were always going to let him walk. I think with Dallas Goedert, there is a chance he's back in 2026. I wouldn't say it's a great chance. I wouldn't say it's even over 50-50. But what I would say is that at Goddard's age, what he's making, the Eagles' depth chart at tight end, and we'll see how, you know, who makes the team. Obviously, Harrison Bryant, Kylan Granson, Kyle Kotera, EJ Jenkins. They could potentially draft a tight end next year. So there's a lot of roadblocks to Goddard coming back. But I think that the money for Goddard next offseason will not be anywhere near what it is for Josh Sweat. And I think the Eagles are entering this wanting to keep Goddard as opposed to Sweat. I think they wanted to keep him, but it was more like we need to keep an edge and the money makes sense. I think that Goddard has a lot of supporters in that building. The coaching staff loves Goddard. Like, he is one of Howie's best draft picks. So I think that's a difference. I think Goddard could come back in 2026, whereas Sweat was probably never going to come back. So when you look at his contract, he loses potentially anywhere from $3 to $4 million. Not great, but I think he's going to be in an offense he knows. He's going to be on a high-profile team. He's going to play in high-profile games. And if he has a great year, Goddard will be in the NFL in 2026. He's going to get a contract. I will be curious to see how big of a contract he can get, but I would not rule out him coming back to the Eagles in 2026. So next is, how does this impact the Eagles cap? So Goddard had a cap hit of around $11 million. I think it's like 11.7 or something like that for 2025. Now, you would think that with this new deal, it'll probably go down. It's a one-year deal, or a one-year restructure, I guess would be a way to put that. I would guess that there's a few dummy years added onto this. The Eagles love to do that. It stretches out cash. It's just a matter of whether or not, like, how much they have to really play with. Like, his base salary was very low, and he had option bonuses and he had signing bonuses. The signing bonus you can't really do much with. Like, and I think the signing bonus took up around $4 million of his contract for next season. So the cap hit won't be below $4 million. I'd be pretty surprised if it's below $4 million. But I think it could go from like $11 million to maybe $7 million. I could picture it going down. So, you know, the Eagles, I think, have around $20 million in cap space right now. You know, you add $2 or $3 million, not a ton of money. Let me actually double check what the Eagles cap space is for you guys. So the Eagles have, according to Over the Cap, $24 million. So a little higher than I thought. You add maybe $2 or $3 million in there, you're up to 27. Like, the cap space, you know, that's a good space to be in when you consider, you know, they have signed a lot of players this offseason, not a lot of big money, but I think they signed like 7 or 8 free agents. So to still be at right around where they started at, with Goddard done, with Juergens done, with all these, like, still in a really good place. So cap's looking good. I would guess this does help the cap a little bit. Like I said, $2-3 million, maybe $4 million, it opens up, and they're still in a really good space financially. It's a little surprising that with the whole thing was like cash, like save cash. They really didn't save much cash with this, which speaks to how much, I guess, they did want Goddard back. And maybe that's something I misread. I thought they were willing to move on from Goddard, and I think they would have been willing to move on from Goddard. But I thought when they had him back, it would be at $4 or $5 million. Obviously, it's way more than that. So good job by Goddard's team getting that money, and credit to the Eagles. This offseason has been so much about 2026, right? Chauncey's traded because they want the young guys to play to develop. Chauncey's traded because they want cash. They're not that active in free agency because of all the money they're going to have to spend in 2026 on Jalen Carter, on Nolan Smith, maybe N'Kobe Dean, Reed Blankenship. Like, a lot of guys are going to be contract eligible after this season. Jalen's probably set for some version of a new deal, especially if they have another really successful year. So a lot of this offseason has been about 2026. This feels like the first 2025 move. Even the rookie, Jahad Campbell, I think is more about 2026 than 2025. But this is another, this is probably the first strong indication of the offseason that they are, like, still very, very, very much committed to winning in 2025. And, you know, they just put $10 million cash on the table to make sure that they do remain competitive. So, you know, for me and James have talked about this, talked with it talked about it with you guys on Go Birds Radio. Like, I understand the 2026 view. I don't think it's an egregious stance to take by them. But I do think also, like, they do have to play 2025. And repeating a Super Bowl champions isn't like a nothing burger. So I think bringing Goddard back is an indication from them. And it's kind of like I've said, where I think they are going, they will make moves if they feel like they need help for this year's roster. And this is kind of the first one that they've made that definitely has 2025 in mind. So now the question is obviously the roster spot. Goddard clearly is going to be on the 53-man roster. And then after that, they have Calcaterra, Harrison Bryant, Kylan Granson, and EJ Jenkins. So they have a pretty loaded tight end room. I don't picture them keeping five tight ends on the 53. That would be pretty crazy. EJ Jenkins' chances of making the team probably just took a shot. Like, he would be a long shot at this point. And then you wonder if they'll cut one of the free agents. I don't think Calcaterra is an absolute lock. He does only have 1 year left on his deal. But I think actually Granson, Bryant, Calcaterra all only 1 year. So a lot of turnover. Maybe that does help EJ Jenkins, but it will be an interesting roster thing to look at heading into the season, because they now have some very tough decisions to make at the position with Goddard back. It's a net positive, obviously. Goddard's back on the roster. That's a good thing, but they do have some decisions to make there. So I mentioned this on the emergency pod, how Goddard is creeping his way up to be one of the best Eagles tight ends of all time. So I went and I looked up the stats. And I'll first start by saying I really only looked at the Super Bowl era, and not to be like, you know, I know like the whole thing is, oh, Elliot doesn't care about older teams. And there is honestly some truth to that. But I didn't include Pete Ratzlaff. Retzlaff. I can't pronounce that name. I apologize. I know who he is. I just can't pronounce the name. You know that about me. So if you look at Goddard's numbers compared to other tight ends, so Zach, by the way, the main takeaway for me doing this, Zach Ertz really did put up some unbelievable numbers. So Dallas Goddard in his career, 4,085 yards, 349 catches, 24 touchdowns in 93 games. So if you only look at the Super Bowl era, he would be third. He's behind Celek. Celek has 4,998 yards, 398 catches, 31 touchdowns. He played 175 games for the Eagles. That's the other thing. Goddard's at 93 games. Celek's at 175. And then Zach Ertz in 123 games, just so far ahead everybody else. Zach Ertz, 6,267 yards, 579 catches, and 38 touchdowns in 123 games. So with this season, you know, could Goddard pass Celek? I don't think it's crazy. I think there's a chance he would do it. He'd need roughly 1,000 yards, which he's never done. But, you know, if Goddard has 1,000 yards, I think there's a chance things haven't gone great, because AJ, Devontae, Saquon are going to eat up the majority of the yards. If Goddard's getting over 1,000, that means there's probably been an injury to a player, which obviously is not a good thing, but not impossible. He could pass Celek if he could get to 5,000 yards, second all time on tight ends. And then catches, he's 50 or 49 catches behind Celek. That could happen. I could picture him having 49 catches. And then 8 touchdowns from passing Celek, only 7 touchdowns from tying him. But the real takeaway is here, he's only played 93 games. So even if he plays all 17 games this year, he'll end at 110 games in his Eagles career. That's 65 games behind Celek and 13 games behind Ertz. So Ertz, again, his numbers definitely pop off the page more than Goddard's do. It is worth mentioning Ertz played in a time where the Eagles didn't have A.J. Brown, Saquon, and Devontae. And Goddard hasn't always had those players, right? I mean, A.J. didn't get here till 2022. Goddard did spend some time as a backup, but, you know, Ertz played at a time when they did not have great receivers. So that helped him. Same for Celek as well, frankly. They probably had better receivers for Celek than they did Ertz, but still, 175 games, you know, it's an impressive amount of games. So I think Goddard's numbers do stack up well compared to Ertz and Celek. Obviously, Ertz is 2,000 plus yards ahead, impressive stuff, but also in 30 more games. But could Goddard end up being like the best tight end of all time? I think he's already in the conversation for one of the best. I mean, I also just think if you remove the numbers stylistically, you just watch Goddard play, and He's better than Celek, in my opinion. And then Ertz is interesting because Ertz was such a good like possession receiver, and that's not really Goddard's game. It could be his game, but he's much more of a big play, make guys miss, like that type of player. I think Goddard's more impressive to watch, but at this point, I probably still have to say Ertz is ahead of him on the all-time rank. I mean, now they both have a Super Bowl, so that's certainly noteworthy. But Ertz caught the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, but Goddard's made big-time plays too. Goddard's up there in a playoff receiving yards for Eagles players. So I would still have Goddard second, but by the fact he's going to come back another year and potentially beyond that, I think the watch begins for could he pass Ertz as the best tight end in Eagles history. So I guess that officially closes the Dallas Goedert chapter of the offseason. It's been such a big part of it. I feel like we've talked about it so much. And now we have our answer. And I think it's an answer Eagles fans should feel good about, definitely with the team being better, in my opinion, with Goedert on the roster than off of it. So on the other side, the Eagles are linked once again to a safety that I think you will all very much recognize the name. And I feel like you all probably want him on the roster. So we'll talk about that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. So if this offseason has been about Dallas Goedert, I think you could argue the last calendar year has been some ways dominated as well by Justin Simmons. Justin Simmons, obviously the Pro Bowl All-Pro safety, at least at one point in his career. Last offseason, there was a ton of rumors Eagles could have interest. Even, you know, at different trade deadlines, there's been rumors Eagles could be in on him. And now, once again, the rumors are circulating that the Eagles could end up signing Justin Simmons. So Brian Baldinger, the GOAT Brian Baldinger of Baldy's breakdowns, everything pretty much. Baldy was on NFL Network and they were doing a game that a lot of shows do where it's like, you know, okay, what's the best fit for this free agent? What's the best fit for this free agent? And Justin Simmons came up and Baldy not only said the Eagles, he dropped a nugget of information in there. Maybe not a surprise, but still worth hearing. Here's Baldinger talking about Justin Simmons.
And I've been saying it all offseason too, Jeff. I agree. And it's not just a reunion with Justin Simmons and Vic Fangio. He wants to come to Philadelphia. He wants to be there. They drafted Andrew Mukuba out of Texas, which is good. They've drafted Sidney Brown to go with Reed Blankenship. There's players there, but nobody with the numbers, the interceptions, like really the leadership that he can provide. They lost Darius Slay. They lost some leaders in that secondary. He provides that. He's another very, very smart guy, understands the game, high football IQ. And when he wants to be there, he wants to come to Philly. Just find him a house in South Jersey. He's gonna be here. He'll be fine.
So Justin wanting to play for the Eagles is not surprising. We played a clip on the Daily Pod earlier this offseason where Justin Simmons talked about how much admiration he has for Fangio and, you know, frankly, just said what an awesome fit it would be. Justin Simmons obviously would clearly like a chance to win with the Eagles. And then you look at the safety position that they're in, and he knows that if he got in here, he would have a good chance to start opposite Reed Blankenship. And with how good the Eagles defense is, how good the team is, how good the offense is, I would say at this point, the best possible job available for Justin Simmons is with the Eagles. So Justin Simmons wants to come to the Eagles. The question is, should the Eagles want to sign Justin Simmons? So let's take a little look at Justin Simmons. I know everybody knows the name, but while he's been an outstanding player in his career, I think it's important to look at the more recent play from Justin Simmons. So he's 31 years old. He'll be 32 in November. So on the older side, 134 games in 9 seasons. He's been remarkably healthy. So actually, I'll just say this stat now. Like, he played over 1,000 snaps last season, 1,017 snaps. He's played 900 plus snaps in 6 of the last 7 seasons and 1,000 plus snaps in 5 of the last 7. So he's been healthy. He plays a lot. He's used to making it through a season. Like, that is a very important quality in any player, but especially someone the Eagles are going to bring in. Like, the injury prone, they got enough of those guys, where guys that have suffered injuries, guys that were like lottery tickets. If they're signing Simmons, it's probably to be the starting safety. And knowing that he can stay healthy is obviously big. So played a ton of games, 134 games, so a ton of experience, but also like plays a ton of snaps, which is definitely an attractive quality in a free agent. obviously has a connection from Fangio. He was with Fangio when Fangio was the head coach of the Denver Broncos, and Fangio was the head coach from 2019 to 2021. So he spends three seasons with Fangio. He was named second team All-Pro twice and Pro Bowl once under Fangio, which definitely shows like Fangio knows how to use him. He's comfortable in Fangio's system, but 2021 is quite a bit ago. So I don't know like how relevant it is. It's just noteworthy that he's played really well under Fangio. So last season, he spends it with the Atlanta Falcons, total 62 tackles, 36 of which are solo, two interceptions, seven pass deflections, two tackles for a loss. And that is one thing he does. He creates turnovers. He, I think, led the league in interceptions 2 years ago, more than one interception in, I think, every year of his career. Like, he is good at going after the football. And that's what they lost in Chauncey. Chauncey's very good at going after the football. Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the 49th overall safety last year. For some reference with that, Reed Blankenship was 20th, and CJGJ was 12th. Now, one stat that was very concerning for me, and actually I'd say first, the 49th overall, not terrible for a free agent at this time of the year. If he's like your number one free agent signing, then yeah, that's like a little worrisome. But you figure two starting safeties for each team, he would be in some ways obviously one of the worst starting safeties in the NFL, but he would not be a backup level guy. Like he would be one of the, you know, top 62 safeties in the NFL. So, not an outstanding grade, but I don't think a worrisome grade either. Here's the worrisome stat. His missed tackle percentage last year was 19.8. That was 65th out of 66 safeties. We talk so much on this pod about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and his missed tackle problems. We've talked about it with Andrew Mukuba out of Texas. 19.8 is worrisome. Like, Chauncey was 14%, I think. 19.8, 65 out of 66. That's like an eye-opening stat. So, yeah, the Eagles would have to feel confident that maybe that was like just a one-year thing. The Eagles, I will say, to their credit, they got players to become better tacklers as the season went on. You think about even Chauncey, right? Chauncey at the beginning of the year struggled with missed tackles. Remember that in the Green Bay game. And then as the year went on, the whole team struggled with tackles, but the whole team did improve as the year went on. But 19.8%, I mean, that is not good. That is definitely a stat the Eagles would have to watch the tape and think about it. And it's not really a one-year thing. So 19.8 in 2024, 11.8 in 2023, 17.3 in 2022. I mean, in four of the last five seasons, he's been over 10% in missed tackles. So, excuse me, over 10% in missed tackles. So that's a worry. The missed tackles would be a worry. So overall, I think in terms of signing him, he's definitely a solid player still. The missed tackles are a concern, but I think for Fangio, he'd be a great depth piece. The question would really be, what does he want and when would you bring him in? So last year, he got 1 year, $7.5 million in guaranteed money. Good money, good money for him. You would wonder if he'd get that this year. Now, in terms of cap space, like, that's not a huge deal. So let's say he signs that exact same one year, $7.5 million deal, stretch that bad boy out over 4 years. It's a very minimal cap hit. It's more just about the cash, right? Like, how much do they want to give him? He probably isn't going to get the 7.5. I would think he wasn't good enough last year. He's a year older. He's still a free agent. So maybe you're looking at $5 million or something like that. I think the question is more when. Like, do you want to give Sidney Brown and Andrew Mukuba a real chance to win this job? Like, through mini camps, through mandatory mini camp, do you want to see them out there and see how they're doing? And then you can decide, that's the first stop point, right? Do you want to bring Justin Simmons in prior to training camp? And I would think Vic Fangio would want Justin Simmons in training camp. Vic Fangio prioritizes practicing. It's clear he really values training camp. He let Quinion win the job off of training camp essentially last year. Devin White played, in his opinion, poorly in training camp. He doesn't even start week one. So clearly he values training camp. So I would think Justin Simmons would come in. But it's also like, do you want to give reps to Sidney and Mukuba and give them a shot? Because if Justin Simmons comes in, he's not going to be a backup. And at that point, you're basically punting from the whole going to give young players a chance to play. So that's the Justin Simmons of it all. I think the money is doable. I think he's still a solid player. I understand the interest. It's more just about when and if they want to give Sidney Brown and Mukuba a real shot at winning the starting safety job. But so something tells me this won't be the last time we talk about Justin Simmons. This is going to be a rumor, I think, that'll definitely float around until Justin Simmons signs somewhere else or until he signs with the Eagles. But that will do it for today's Daily Podcast. Once again, thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.